Welcome to Caregiver and Physician Conversations. I'm Marjorie Pabst, your host. My most recent book about caregiving, Words of Care, can be found on Amazon.com and eCareDiary.com, the sponsor of this show. The purpose of Caregiver and Physician Conversations is to provide caregivers and their families with tips and tools for working with medical professionals and with each other. Today, we present the second in our three-part series entitled, What Really, Really Matters for Caregivers. Last month, my guests, Dr. John Guarneri and Dr. Rick Balmaget, explained how key listening and communication skills can keep everyone on track for patient healing and out of that medical trouble that we all know about. Dr. Guarneri and Dr. Balmaget focused last month on how patients can use listening skills to enhance the healing process. And listeners can access that archive show on eCareDiary.com. Today, we will focus on the caregiver and listening skills that can prevent the misuse of medication, help medical professionals understand your loved ones, develop family understanding and harmony, and increase overall quality of life for you and your patients. And today, we have a special offer. For those of you who call in, you will get a free copy of Dr. Balmaget's latest book called Listening Pays. So be sure to call us at 347-857-3399 with your questions or comments, because a comment will also get you a free book. Dr. John Guarneri has been our lead physician on Caregiver and Physician Conversations for over 2 years. He is the chairman and director of the Department of Healthcare and Spirituality at Florida Hospital and the past president of the medical staff at Florida Hospital. Dr. Rick Balmaget is a professor of communications at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida, and was named as one of the top 300 professors in America, according to the Princeton Review. Dr. Balmaget is routinely nominated as favorite professor on the Rollins campus, and his second book, Listening Pays, is receiving rave reviews. The title, of course, suggests the bottom line importance of listening to others. And nowhere is listening more important and critical than during a medical illness. Please call us for a free copy of that book. Welcome, Drs. Guarneri and Balmaget.
Thank you, Marjorie. It's nice being with you again.
And I'm delighted to be here as well. Thank you, Marjorie.
Great. Thank you both. As I mentioned earlier, we're focusing on caregiver listening skills. And today, I have never done this before on this radio show, but I want to provide a very personal example of my caregiving experience and very specifically of what happened when I did not listen. My husband, Mark, was diagnosed with CML, chronic myelogenous leukemia, in late 2004. And from the very beginning, he was given daily and sometimes every other day the blood tests. And we were inundated with lots of numbers, lots of charts to take in. During this whole thing, I was advised as a caregiver not to share all of the numbers with him, because they fluctuated widely from day to day, and there was concern that if the numbers were good, there might be too much optimism, or if bad, too much pessimism. In any case, I listened to that advice, that general advice. And what I forgot was that my husband was very much a data kind of guy who needed and wanted to track his numbers. Somehow that made him feel better, even if he saw low numbers. And at first I didn't listen to his pleas for more information. I, quite frankly, forgot to take his personality and his needs into account. And the situation was really an object lesson in general advice versus specific patient situations. So, you know, Dr. Balmelier, here I am. I am a sinner. I was a caregiver, and I really lost the ball on this one. So what thoughts do you have about the example I just gave?
Well, I think this is a wonderful example, Marjorie, to look at through the lens of SEER that we talked about last month on the show. And I'll just quickly run through. SEER is actually a different way to view listening. S is sense, I is interpret, E is evaluate, and R is respond. And then there's an asterisk at the end of it for memory. And in this case, what we're doing is we're taking this example between you and your husband, and we're looking at it from the past. So we can diagnose where did the breakdown occur, and also what can we do going forward. So you certainly took in the message of being advised not to share the numbers. You took in those words, and you understood those words, and as you started to evaluate, you took the advice, and as you described the situation, your husband being a very analytical person, the evaluation stage is a point where we can start to discern or really determine, is this a fact? Is this an opinion? Is this a prediction disguised as a fact? And so what comes up for me is if we go through S, I, E, and R, and we have to take those steps in sequence, the breakdown occurred at the E level, in the evaluation level, but you had a wonderful recovery and that you said, well, Mark is one that wants those numbers shared and I am going to do that, and the outcome was positive. So I think you were able to definitely recover in that situation.
Well,
you know, Marjorie, this is Dr. Guarneri.
I recovered, you know. yes, Dr.
I was even thinking, and when we take a psychosocial spiritual history on our patients, one of the questions we ask them is what gives you strength and what gives you peace? And I was just thinking about that question as you evolve with Mark with his challenging illness. And it occurred to me what gave him strength is getting into the numbers. Getting into the data, as you said. So it just struck me, and that's a wonderful question for caregivers to think about, is what gives the person that they love strength?
Oh, that is wonderful. Absolutely. Both of you are just giving me all kinds of reflection on this example that happened over, well, six years ago now. But it is such an object lesson. I love that issue about strength, though. What is it that gives me strength? And if you think of all of us in any situation, different things give different strokes for different folks, right?
Exactly. We're all individuals.
Well, Dr. Guarneri, I know you've got lots of experience with patients and caregivers, and this whole issue of listening and responding to patients and caregivers and what really gives them strength. So could you give us a couple of examples?
Yeah, I'd like to give you a positive example and then a situation that was more on the negative side. Being a gynecologist, we deal with many different entities, and one entity is what we call vaginal prolapse. That's where over years and over having children and as we mature as individuals, sometimes the tissues get weak, and here we're talking about the vaginal tissues. And a patient came in, an elderly patient, with her daughter, And the daughter happened to be a nurse, so she was pretty well oriented within the field of medicine. Came in very open-minded. Her mom was not very articulate at this point and really wanted to be there for her mom in helping her understand the options that she had. And that's the way the daughter came in, wanting to know the options. And we went over the options that consisted, and I will not go into deep detail here, but basically very conservative things that we could do. Then there are also devices that could be used to help with the weakening of the vagina. And then there could be surgery. And I went over the advantages and disadvantages of all of that, and they felt very armed with the information to make their decision over time, and there was certainly no urgency of that situation. That's where the caregiver was very open-minded. I had another situation, and this is the more negative one, where a daughter came in with her mother. Her mom had a history of what's called a fibroid uterus, or the fancy term is leiomyoma de uteri. And the daughter, before she came in, was convinced that her mother needed surgery without any ifs, ands, or buts. That is, she had a mind made up. And I don't critique it as far as a mind made up, but the fact that she was very closed in and didn't understand that there were many options. So it was challenging to articulate to her, but I persisted in making her understand the options in that situation, and that her mom did not absolutely need to have surgery, that there were, again, conservative things that could be done, there were less invasive things that could be done, and of course the surgery itself, where she would have a hysterectomy. And of course what I helped her to understand was that you just can't look at surgery in a vacuum. You have to weigh the benefits and the risks, and certainly the risks in this elderly person that had diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, really made it a very risky situation. I ended up saying to her, because of the caregiver, that is, evolving from a very concrete one-minded decision to understanding this further, I offered the daughter with her mom to even get a second opinion if she'd like. So I left the door wide open for her to think about further in a more open-minded way. So that's where it's important, I think, not only for the physician to have an open mind and explain all the options, but also the caregiver as well. And I know folks go on the internet, which is a great resource, but it really doesn't prioritize the situation sometimes, nor even mention all the options.
Those are two great examples. And, you know, Dr. Guarnieri, I am sure that in the whole process as well, that you probably turned to the patient and said, well, what would you prefer? What do you think? You know, I've seen you do it, not with patients, but with people in general, where you go to the source and you say, well, what would make you feel best? Back to your strength idea of what would give you strength and assurance that you're doing the right thing. And so those are great examples.
You know, to comment on that, Marjorie, I think you're so right. I think sometimes the daughters, in loving their mother so much, that they almost make their mom codependent and actually talk for them. But your comment of having the healthcare provider turn to the patient themselves, even though they may be limited in the way they can articulate about it, but asking them their opinion is a very important point.
So, Dr. Balmaget, Dr. Guarnieri's examples, I'm sure, relate to the fear word and how you've been helping us think about our listening or lack of listening skills.
Absolutely. I think in the positive example, what comes up for me as the caregiver came into the situation, as Dr. Guarneri indicated, open-minded. And so she had a very positive listening mindset that enabled her to sense, interpret, evaluate, and respond. Where in the second situation, the caregiver came in with, the fancy term is, an attention pattern that's of one of a private argument. In other words, she was convinced that surgery was the only method. And so from that point forward, anything that Dr. Guarneri says is going to be met with, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, from her standpoint. And so having that open-minded posture is just critical if we're going to take 100% responsibility in any communication exchange.
So I have this has been a lingering question on my part for both of you. You know, we encourage on this show that listening is important, but we also encourage questions. And so when we ask questions as caregivers or just as general any time in life, is that a form of listening, Dr. Balmaget, when we ask questions?
Oh, most definitely. In fact, if we go back to Sear, questions come out of the I or interpretation stage of Sear. So it's the second stage. It's a point where we're trying to understand through asking key questions. So it's absolutely vital that if we're going to take 100% responsibility, that we come prepared to ask questions.
And what are some sort of like tested, tried and true questions that work almost anywhere, Dr. Balmaget?
Well, I think coming prepared means, first of all, writing down any specific questions that we might have just right off the bat. There's one question that I like to offer, and I'd like to get Dr. Guarneri's opinion on this one, which is, asking the physician, are there questions, Dr. Guarneri, that you believe I should be asking that I'm not?
Without a doubt. I know many of the caregivers will focus on the physical ailments and not address some of the psychosocial and possibly even spiritual issues that may be going on with that loved one. We see parallels with our physician colleagues in this respect as well. But I think it's really important to address how they're doing emotionally with that situation, be it a physical ailment such as a fibroid uterus and the symptoms that may go along with that, versus someone that has, let's say, chronic diabetes and is getting to the point where their kidneys are failing. How are they doing emotionally with that? How are they feeling that they're supported by their family and friends? Do they find strength on a spiritual basis and addressing that to enhance their quality of life as they go forward? So I think that's extremely important that they get to the very holistic part of the care of an individual, not just the physical aspects.
Great. Thank you both so much. Those are terrific questions to always remember in any situation. You know, I could ask, well, what questions am I not asking that I should be asking? I could ask that of my lawyer. I could ask that of my accountant. I could ask that of in any situation if I'm going to a new yoga class or something, right? So, but and the psychosocial piece is important as well, that you, as you mentioned. I'm going to stop right here for just a moment and just check and see if we do have any callers on the line today. We will be giving away the listening pays. It will be yours if you call in with a question or a comment. Is anybody on the line? Well, if not, we'll continue. We do have an administrator who will take down your questions and comments. If you call within this 30-minute period, and we'll, even if you don't get online today, we'll make sure that we've captured your address and that you'll get a book. Back to both of you. During our last show, Dr. Balmaget mentioned an intriguing phrase right at the end of the show. You mentioned the golden pause, referring to the idea that all of us need to just let silence work when we're listening. Dr. Guarneri, we didn't get a chance to hear what you thought of the golden pause last time.
Well, I really key in on the S of seer when I hear about the golden pause. And of course, when you think of sense, you think of the senses, the five senses that we have as human beings of sight, sound, taste, touch, and smell. But also, and you hear the term being bandied about having a sixth sense, and I think that's open for interpretation, but I think the sixth sense as well is vitally important. And the way I would think about it is really in two ways. One, I think, could be as a composite of the five senses that we have, where we take that, we process it, we interpret it, if you will. And we use that to help evaluate a situation and then respond to it. But also, and Dr. Balmaget and I were having a discussion before this webinar actually started, that the sixth sense could be even deeper. It could have a spiritual component. It could have an inner self component, if you will, as well. But I think that's vitally important to avail yourself of not only the five senses, but the sixth sense, if you will. Again, we could have a long discussion on what that consists of, but those are my thoughts about that. I also reference Malcolm Gladwell's book, Blink, that addresses this knowledgeable decision-making that happens in the realm of a sixth sense.
Yes.
Dr. Balmaget, any comments to that?
Yeah, the golden pause and the whole idea of silence is just so crucial, since typically in this culture at any rate, many folks don't avail themselves of silence and communication exchanges. There's a threshold of tolerance. Some folks say it's anywhere between 5 to 9 seconds and then somebody has to say something. But if we enable that silence to go out there, it's absolutely crucial and can be powerful. I think the idea of the sixth sense to me just emphasizes that listening is not just one thing. It's not just hearing or seeing, but it can be a combination of all of these different factors, and it could be just sensing the voice within ourselves, sensing that inner voice to be able to begin the process of interpreting, evaluating, and then responding to whatever it is we need to do, whether that be verbal or nonverbal. Absolutely crucial.
Just a further comment I feel compelled to say, and I think this conversation, whether it's a pause or whether it's actual articulated words, is especially facilitated when you have between the folks in that room having this conversation, this dialogue, if you will, an open, honest, embracing feel about the situation. If that's felt by every one of the individuals in that room, I think you facilitate this dialogue even more.
You know, you guys are absolutely right. An example I think of just that happened yesterday. A friend of mine whose mother, and very much like my mother used to be, my mother would never tell you if she was feeling badly. And in fact, even when she got bone cancer in the early stages, everything was okay when asked. You know, when you'd ask her, she'd say, everything is okay. And so what you're talking about in terms of all those senses, that was really, we were able as a family to recognize very early on that what she was saying, and even if she would try to make her eyes light up or she'd be animated or she would act as though, you know, nothing was wrong, we could still tell, if not by one of our senses, then our sixth sense. And I think that for caregivers, particularly dealing with a parent that who comes sometimes from a generation where you don't talk about these things, you just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you're going to be okay, that this is vital for caregivers to really put that sixth sense into operation.
So true.
Yeah.
I might also add, Marjorie, that a number of years ago, there was a researcher out of UCLA, Albert Mehrabian, who came up with this interesting study about the meaning of a message, and it's been misquoted in decades since that time, but he indicated 7% of the message comes from words, 38% voice tone, and 55% from nonverbals. Again, that 7% words, 38% voice tone, 55% nonverbals. Now, he's not saying that words are unimportant, but in this case, when it comes to feelings or attitude, you knew that the words that your mother was speaking in terms of, I'm okay,
yeah,
she wasn't okay.
That's
and that
right.
was coming from, most likely, the way she said it or how she was transmitting the message with her body.
Yes, absolutely. That's right. You're absolutely right. A very good point. Well, do you know, our 30 minutes is almost up. I cannot believe it. And I want to thank both of you again. And I want to give our audience a quick preview of what they can expect next month. By the way, those of you who are called in today, we've taken your name and address. You'll be getting a free book. We're going to offer that up again next month on August the 27th, when my guests will again be Drs. Guineri and Balmaget. We're going to discuss listening in the context of working with medical professionals. In other words, getting all those people that work in hospitals and doctor's office to listen to us as we listen to them and take 100% responsibility. We're going to look at such questions as, what can I do to get attention in the midst of a busy medical office? How can I make decisions about who to ask when medical teams are prevalent and I and my loved one see somebody new on almost every visit? How can I use these listening skills with that? How can I encourage medical professionals to listen to my concerns? These are all questions at the heart of what really, really matters. And we're going to turn our attention to that next month on the 27th with our experts, Drs. Balmaget and Dr. Guineri. Thank you both so very much for coming on the show today and taking your time to be with us. And thanks to all of our listeners as well. You can access this show and last month's show on ecarediary.com on the archives, and we appreciate all of you so much. Thanks again.
Take care, Marjorie.
Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.